Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Every Wednesday at this time, we talk to Mike Rizzo, president and general manager of the Washington Nationals. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Good morning, Mike.
Mike, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
So, not a great offensive night for you guys. Hers pitched okay, but you just couldn't get any offense going. I wanted to ask you about one player in particular. Your center fielder, Jacob Young. Amazing defensive player. I just looked it up. He's leading the Major League Baseball in runs prevented. He's tied for the lead in outs above average. Is there like a threshold number that you guys think, like, you need this amount of offense to keep him as a center fielder in the future?
He's proven to me that he's major league worthy, and that he, you know, there's a place on this team for him. And I think that his offense has improved over the course of this season. He's got to, see more pitches, take more walks, get more bunt hits. He leads the league in bunt hits, I think, with 8, and infield hits. He's an elite runner, an elite defender, and an elite base runner or base stealer. So he's, he possesses a lot of skills that winning ball clubs employ. So he's turned himself into a real asset for us, and a guy that is going to be part of the future.
He's going to win a Gold Glove. That he's basically the best center fielder, defensive center fielder in the league.
Analytically, he definitely is, and with the human eye, you know, if you see him play day in and day out, he's the Gold Glove winner. He's the best center fielder I've seen this season, and a guy that just keeps improving, getting better and better, and plays every day, plays nicked up, plays really hard in the outfield, and slams into walls, and not afraid of fences, walls, or anything else. So we're really proud of him, the way he's come, a seventh round pick that's really blossomed into something that's going to really be a nice piece for us going forward.
I wanted to ask you about another guy, young outfielder you guys have, and that's Alex Call. My buddy actually sent me a text this morning. He says, ask Grizz about Alex Call and his number since he was called back up. So, and I was looking at the numbers, and I didn't really dive into him that much, but he's hitting .356. And you guys called him back up in late July. So he's basically been back for about, call it 20 games. Not playing every day, but call it 20 games. And it's a small sample size, I get it. But I was just looking at the game logs. Man, he's got like 8 or 9 multi-hit games in his last 20. And he's hitting .356. And you basically, you picked him up off of waivers because I think Cleveland just cut him. Talk about him. Like, what's he been doing differently at the plate that he wasn't doing or to start the year, and why is he hitting .356? I mean, that's impressive.
Well, he's a good player. You know, he runs well. He's a good defender in 3 outfield positions. He puts the bat on the ball. He's got surprising power, and he just needed a place to play and needed some opportunities. Small sample, so we're not going to get crazy about the, right, you know, about the numbers, but he's always been a good player for us. He's a guy that that fills a lot of spots for you on a really good team. He can play all 3 outfield positions. He can run well. He'll steal you a base, and a guy he puts in a lot of work. He's a hard worker. I think that the resurgence is a key to he's seeing more pitches in the strike zone, swinging at more pitches in the strike zone, being more selective, and I think it's you're seeing the benefit of him putting the barrel on the ball more often and using the entire field instead of he got a little pull happy his first go around with us here at the big league level.
Gotcha.
Hey Mike, a new name that Drabby was telling me about and I've just been reading about is Travis Sikora. Is that how you say his name? He's zooming up your guys' prospect list. I think he was a third rounder you guys took out of high school a couple years ago. And, big, strong pitcher, looks like, who's been kind of dominant. Can you tell us more about him?
Yeah, he's a big physical pitcher out of Texas that that we overpaid, gave him first round money in the third round a couple years ago, and he's a projection right-handed pitcher that that's really developed fairly quickly. He's an upper 90s guy. He's touched 100 a few times. He's got a good slider and a good changeup, good delivery, and he's a horse. He's 6'6", about 225 pounds right now, and when you couple him in there with Susanna and Clemmy down there at our A-ball level, we've got three extremely high ceiling, high caliber starting pitchers in the low A level, and he's certainly zooming up lists on some of the national lists, but he's been a guy we identified way back in high school, and he's just scratching the surface and starting to come into his own.
What are the numbers these days on kids that you draft out of high school versus college? You know, I remember like in the whole Moneyball days, they were all about was it the college guys they were saying was hitting better? Like, what is it now? Where are we and all that?
As far as the percentage, I think it's still around 50-50 high school and college. I think that in the last recent couple of drafts, I think you've seen more college players go off than high school.
Uh-huh.
The NIL situation in college baseball has made it a little more difficult to sign some of these high school players because there's incentive for those kids that used to sign to now they make a lot of money to go play college baseball. So that throws a different layer on it. We've drafted fairly equally high school, college at the top of the draft with the Houses and the Sikoras and that type of guys. We always take best player available and be at high school or college and just have to be more patient with the high school kids than you do with the college kids. Obviously, it's the high schoolers and the international players take much more time to develop than those quick to the big leagues type of college signs.
So, Mike, we've got 36 games left, so we're approaching end of August. Season winding down. Just give me a couple just off the top of your head, a couple of the biggest pros from this year, and I assume James Wood's one of them, and then a couple of the biggest cons. Pros and cons from this year.
I think the biggest pros is you're seeing the development of our starting rotation. With Irvin and Parker and Hers and Gore, you're seeing really the development of four major league starters, kind of coming together at the same season, which is, unlikely to happen often. But I think that's the biggest pro for me, the state of our pitching at the big league level, at the upper minor league level, and at the lower minor league level. It's never been better for us. It's never flourished as much, and we've never had so much depth as we have right now. And I think at the big league level, another pro is that, I think you're seeing the emergence of a good core group at the big league level already. With Ruiz's second half has been solid. With Abrams and Garcia and Young in the outfield, and then when you add Wood and Cruz in the near future, that you're looking at yourself of 5, 6, 7 players that's going to be the core group of your team in the very near future. So that's definitely the pro. The cons is growing pains of all these young players. They all don't blossom and develop at the same time. So there's bumps in the road. That's like I always said, development's not linear. There's bumps in the road, and you have to live and die with those throughout the season. And I think you've seen that. You go score 6 or 7 runs against a good Phillies team on Sunday, then come and get shut out against the Rockies until Abrams hit the home run. So the inconsistencies and the sometimes the lack of fundamentals are definitely the biggest con that I've seen during throughout the season. and things that we have to work on.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about real quick before we let you go. You know, obviously baseball's rules changes are crazy. Some you agree with, some you don't. We won't go into that. But the one thing that came out, and I don't know how it was leaked. I guess this was last week. The Major League Baseball's pondering the six-inning mandatory minimum for starting pitchers. And I think it's dumb. I think it's crazy. And who knows how close we are to possibly getting there. But just give me your thoughts on if Major League Baseball required starting pitchers to go a minimum. And there are some caveats. There's injury caveats. There's 100-pitch caveat. But if Mackenzie Gore was getting shelled in the first inning or second inning, and it's 4-0 or 6-0 in a huge game, you may be required to pitch him for six innings or 100 pitches. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I definitely would have to see what the entire rule entails, first of all, before I comment. Okay. Just kind of in general, as I don't like MLB or anybody else telling me what I can do with my roster and with my players. I mean, any type of mandate to me is unacceptable. So, I mean, you know, whenever they mandate that you have to have a certain this amount of pitchers and you can't have more. Your roster has to be 13 pitchers, 13 position players. It can't be more. You know, I like to think if I wanted to have, 25 pitchers and one position player, I should be able to do that. It's my, mm-hmm. it's our team. We do what we want with it. And but any mandate I would need to discuss because. Teams run their organization different and their roster different because we all have different assets on our roster. We all have different strengths and weaknesses of our roster. So to put in just these broad brush rules of every team has to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. But again, I'd have to really, I'd have to really see what the rule entails and how it will be implemented and that type of thing before I have any specific comments on that specific rule. But in general, I like to be left alone to do what I want with the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think eventually you came around on the no shift anymore.
I definitely came around on the no shift. I thought that was beneficial. And I definitely came around on the pitch clock. I think that saved us. I love that rule. That was a beauty. That was a win by MLB. That was a terrific rule and a gutsy rule for them to put in. And I think it's really helped the enjoyment of the fans and of everybody else that loves baseball. I think it's made the game better.
All right, Mike, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Mike.
Buddy.
Rizzo, President and GM of your Washington Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. EB's entertainment page is on deck.